dear friends, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Greetings to each one of you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are living, we are dwelling in grand and awesome time. You believe that? It's a grand time for those that are ready, but it's going to be an awful time for those that are not. By the grace of God, there's no reason why any of us should not be ready for His very soon return. For as you know, as you've heard me speak before, those who have, you know that I believe that we are right on the verge of a Sunday law. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour. We don't know the month, we don't know the week. But Jesus said, you won't know the day nor the hour, but you're going to know it's very, very close. And only the wise, and not the foolish, but the wise will understand, as it says in Daniel, and we can tell by Matthew 25, the story of the 10 virgins. Evidently, the 10 virgins didn't understand because they weren't prepared. Folks, it's preparation time. We don't get trust in the Lord overnight. We don't develop all the faith we need overnight. We don't develop the character we need overnight. It takes time. And spending time with our Lord and learning as He takes us through these tests and trials, and we see how He works. So we have to be alert. We have to be on guard at all times, because again, time is very, very short. The title of my message this morning is called The Snares of Satan. The Snares of Satan. How many of you ever been scammed? Have you ever been scammed? Do you get those phone calls? We get them all the time, trying to get us to sign up for this or sign up for that. If you just give us your bank account, or your social security number or whatever. I just tell people all the time, I don't do any official business or whatever over the telephone. If you got something you want me to know about, send it to me in the mail. Send it to me in the mail, because there's all kinds of scams. And I must admit, I've been scammed, not by the telecallers, but by a family member. And I'm sure many of you have had that as well. You know, all the time we hear stories of, especially the elderly people, the husband is deceased or the wife is deceased and they're lonely, and all of a sudden they get these scammers from Nigeria or Russia or wherever, and convincing them that it's this real nice Christian woman or whatever, attractive, handsome man. And next thing you know, they talk to them enough and scam them enough that they believe it so much that they even go to the bank and get money out of their savings account or whatever and send it to the scammers. Sometimes people could lose hundreds of thousands of dollars in these scams. Adventists get caught up. They're not above it. I think the Greater Ministries out of Florida years ago, they scammed Adventists out of over $34 million. It's a Ponzi scheme. Yeah, put your money in it, and then within a certain period of time, we'll double the money you put into it. If it's too good to be true, folks, it's true, or it's not true. The only thing true is that what Jesus said, that's too good to be true, but it is true when He says He's coming again and He can save us from sin, not in, and take us home to spend eternity. That is true. I remember one time out in California, a friend of mine out there, an older gentleman, he was a doctor, and he had, this is right after the Greater Ministries, and another scam popped up, another Ponzi scheme right behind it, and you would think people would learn their lessons. So this friend of mine, this doctor friend of mine, we were trying to raise money to print the America Superpower Prophecy magazine. And he said to me, he said, well, you know, Ron, he said, when this money gets back, we're going to give you money so you can print that magazine. I'm going to give it to you, and Jonathan's going to give it to money that he gets back. I said, doctor, it's not going to happen. He says, you don't look too happy about it. I said, I'm not happy, because you'll never see that money again. And neither will Jonathan. Well, sure enough, they lost it, and he ended up having to sell property to be able to live, because he put so much money into the scam, the Ponzi scheme. It happens all the time. Satan doesn't always come with a red suit, pitchfork, or horn. Sometimes he comes a blot, a brunette, or a redhead. All kinds of things out there. The snares of Satan. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, we're going to look at verse 17. Very familiar text we're going to use today. But you need to be reminded, because the enemy of souls knows his time is short. And he is throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at us right now. And many people are falling by the wayside already. The shaking is going on, and people are falling for the scams and the snares of Satan. The Bible reads in my King James Bible, Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, and the dragon, who's the dragon? We find that in verse 9, the old serpent, devil, Satan, was wroth. He's angry with the woman. Who's the woman? Represents the church, Revelation 12. The pure and comely woman represents God's pure church, and the woman of Revelation 17, the whorish woman, represents the churches of Babylon, the false teachings, the false doctrines, the false churches. And he's at war with the woman, and he goes to make war with the remnant of her seed here at the end of time, just before Jesus comes. And who are they? Which keep the commandments of God, by the grace of God, all 10, not 9, not 8, not 7, all 10, keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And Revelation chapter 19 then says the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. There is only one church that I know of, that I've ever found out about, that claims to keep all 10 commandments. They feel all of them are very important, and have the spirit of prophecy, and that's God's, the Seventh-day Adventist church. It's the only one. All the other churches are teaching, there's churches that keep the Sabbath, and they keep the 10 commandments, but they don't have the spirit of prophecy. Or they have prophets, but they don't want to believe in keeping the Ten Commandments. So the scam is going on, and we have got to be extremely, extremely careful. Because I want to share with you in page 591 of the Great Controversy, all that prophecy has foretold as coming to pass until the present time has been traced on the pages of history. And we may be assured that all which is yet to come will be faithful, fulfilled by the order, in its order. Maranatha, chapter, or page 152. The last time I was in Washington, D.C., Pat and I go up to Washington at least twice a year, have been for years. We go to different meetings up there, and the idea is to try to get the Illustrated Great Controversy hardback into the hands of political and religious leaders, whether they be in the Senate or the legislature, or, you know, the House of Representatives, or religious leaders, and sometimes movie stars, people of who's who, come to these meetings, and we try to get them out. But this last time we were there, of all the years and all the times that we've been there, this last time I heard for the first time, and it was back in February, and I was told, and the words were said, we need a Sunday law to bring morality back to the nation. That's straight out of the Great Controversy. That's exactly what we're told they're going to be saying. To solve the moral problem, to solve the crime problem, to solve the calamity problem, the theft problem, we got to get people back in church on Sunday. And I'm going to tell you what, it's being done in darkness. It's being done in the shadows. They're disguising the real issue, and it's going to hit us right between the eyes. It's going to be like you run around the corner and the headlights hit a deer right in the eyes, and they stand there for that moment not knowing what to do. And it's going to catch us. It's going to hit us in the eyes, too, here before very long, because it's going to come suddenly. It's going to come unexpectedly. I believe it. The signs are all here, my brothers and sisters. They're screaming out on us. You can see the different species of animals going into the ark, 2x2, 7x7. You can see that happening right now. It's going on right now. And one day, the door of the ark is going to be closed. So we're told the dragon is angry, he's wroth with the remnant, he goes to make war, and he's not making war with the churches he already has under control, he's making war with those who believe that the Ten Commandments are the character of God, And if we love Jesus, by his grace, we will keep them. And Satan comes along and says, no, another deception. You can't keep the commandments of God. It's an impossibility. No, and you can't by yourself on your own. But with the power of God, we can. Amen. I don't have to keep lying to my neighbor. I don't have to steal from him. I don't have to try to take his spouse or whatever. God can keep us like he did Joseph when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. It said he ran. He ran. He didn't hang around and dilly-dally with it. He ran, and God gave him the victory over that temptation, and he'll do the same thing for us. In Peter, 1 Peter, if I can find it here, 1 Peter, chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, be sober, be vigilant, be on guard. Watch your flanks. Tell my wife all the time, be alert of your surroundings. Know what's going on. Is there somebody over there that's watching you like a hawk? Watching every move you're making? Planning on maybe when you walk away with your purse over your shoulder or in your hand, who's going to come running down through there and knock you down, grab the purse and gone? Be familiar with your surroundings. Be on guard. This is what Peter is telling us. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's wanting to devour you. You remember the young man, the prophet that God sent to Judah to give a message. He said, I want you to go this way, and I want you to come back and the same way. Don't stop, don't eat, don't rest, whatever. You just give the message and get right back. And someone came along and said, well, I'm a prophet just like you are. And the Lord told me to tell you that you need to come and get some food and rest and all before you go back. And he did. And he didn't follow the direction that God had given him. And what does the Bible say? They found him along the road with a lion standing over him. The lion had killed him. So the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if we're not on guard, folks, if we're not vigilant, folks, if we're not sober, if we're more worried about the sporting events or the soap operas or whatever it might be than we are the Word of God, then we are likely prey for sure for the enemy, for the lion. In Matthew 24, you've heard these things, I'm sure, many times, but we need to rehearse them. We need to go through them because we need to understand them, what's going on. In Matthew chapter 24, you know that's a chapter, the disciples asked Jesus, what will be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Not the end of the age, like many of these Bibles say, but the end of the world. What will it be like? What would it be like? We're told in inspiration, it says the crisis is just before us when each will need much strength from God in order to stand against the wiles of Satan. What's the wiles of Satan? His trickery, his deceptions, his subtleties. There is nothing innocent with what Satan tries to do. I was just telling someone yesterday, there's nothing innocent about what Satan tries to do. Even the little song, Mary had a little lamb, a little lamb, a little lamb. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary goes, the lamb was sure to go. Who's this talking about? Talking about Jesus, fleet as white as snow, the mother Mary, and he doesn't do anything. She leads him what to do, and I just found out or just saw something where the Catholic Church is now claiming that Mary is God. Before, she was the matrix. She was the co-redeemer. So we have to be very, very alert. And as Jesus said upon the Mount of Olives in verse 3, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? They asked Jesus. Jesus' response was, well, there's going to be wars, there's going to be famines. No, that's not what he said at first. The first thing he said was, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed, sit up and take notice, Be watchful. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, verse 5, and saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Has that happened? You see that happening? You remember any stories? How about a fellow by the name of Jim Jones that took 1,000 people down to Guyana and had them all drink poison Kool-Aid? How about David Koresh, who had all those? And these were Adventists. And David Koresh, they were Adventists. Most of them were Adventists, former Seventh-day Adventists. And you say, how can that possibly be? And I'm trying to say, how could it possibly be too? Because when he would get up and teaching Revelation and he would tell the people, I am the Lamb, they should have ran out of there. They should have run and not looked back, just kept on going, but they didn't. And they burned up in Waco. And I've been there at that spot. And I talked with people in the neighborhoods there, and they would hear a lot of gunfire over there all the time where they were using weapons and things like that over there at Waco. And I went into a little building that was there on the site, and there were boxes of court files where many of these people that were in there at Waco had been taken to court for so many different things, and a lot of their paperwork was there. So we can't trust people because they smile and say, I love Jesus. Again, Satan doesn't always come with a red suit, pitchfork, or horn. Sometimes he comes a blonde, a brunette, or a redhead. And if you're thinking about getting married, old or young or in between, you better do a lot of praying. You better seek the Lord, because Satan will set you up in a heartbeat. You better be careful. In verse 11, Jesus goes on to say, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive even the very elect. And if you go to the pen of inspiration, the very elect are those who believe that God can and will save them from sin, not in sin. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, his name shall be called Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins, not in their sins. And this is some of the ways that Satan is trying to deceive God's people now. And we have to go to the scripture. We have to understand the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, there is what? No light in them. No light in them. For we're told in Testimonies to Ministers, page 409, that ministers will be in our pulpits in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, in our pulpits, with the hellish torch of Satan. With the hellish torch of Satan. In the Great Controversy, page 593, so closely will the counterfeit resemble the true that it will be impossible. What's that word? Impossible to distinguish between them except by the Holy Scriptures. By their testimony, every statement and every miracle must be tested. Must be tested. You know, I have people call me. I had one just Friday, just last Friday, call me and want to know about a certain person, name to name. I said, yes, I know him. Yeah, they used to do this type of work and whatever. And I guess they're, last I knew, they were on the right track from what I could tell based on the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy. But here's my counsel to anyone, because I get people call, did you read such and such a book? Here's this guy that wrote this book, and it seems really good, and it's really enlightening. But here's my response to the people, and my response to each one of you. Time is very, very short. Satan has pulled everything out of his bag of tricks. And he is unleashing it on God's remnant people today. Every time you turn around. So here's my counsel. And this is what I do. I read the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy. I know somebody wrote this or somebody wrote that, and that's fine. But I know the Bible and the spirit of prophecy are inspired of God. But I don't know that everything an individual wrote is inspired of God. We haven't been told that. So be very careful. And I recommend, you know, some years ago, it was just last year, I was invited to come to a conference and speak at a church I hadn't spoken to before. And the pastor and the elders of the church were told, well, we can't have Ron Goss speak in the conference. Well, they tried to find out why. What's he doing? Well, they didn't give much of an answer. They pressed it a little further, and they got some answers. But I happened to know the conference president. So I called the conference president. I said, Elder, how are things? How's the wife? How's the family? And I said, but I've got a question for you. I said, I've been invited to come to your conference and preach at such and such a church. But they were told that the conference doesn't want me preaching in this conference. And I said, Elder, if I'm preaching error, I need to know it. Enlighten me. He said, well, Ron, he said, what I was told from some of the workers there in the conference was that there's three things that they were concerned about. Number one, that you're an independent man. Well, of course, that's not true. Because I am very, very independent on my Jesus, on my God. I can't do anything without him. So I'm very dependent. But do they mean that I'm just going to, when they say stand up and jump, I'm going to stand up and jump because they say so? No. It's going to have to be a thus saith the Lord. It's going to have to be a thus saith the Lord. So number one was I was an independent man. Number two, that I promote all the time people reading the King James Bible. Since when is that a crime? Since the Dark Ages? And the third thing was is that our cover on our great controversy might offend people. That's the one with the Capitol building, the reflecting pool, the Basilica at the Vatican. Revelation 13 on the front cover. Well, if the cover is going to offend them, what are they going to do when they study Scripture? What are they going to do when they go to a meeting and they're told about who the beast power is, etc.? I just saw an article in this last month's Journey, Adventist World, with some PhD, theologian, whatever, from Andrews University that wrote an article in there about the three angels of the message. Friends, you could read the three angels' message two or three times. You still wouldn't know who the beast power was. You wouldn't really know what it's all about by reading that article. Sometimes I'm glad I'm a dummy. You can get too smart. You can get too much education. You can pat yourself on the back because I've got all these degrees and all these credentials. I've got one degree. It's called a GED. I'm a God-educated disciple. And friends, that's all I need. Just like Peter, James, and John. Taught by the Master. Taught by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. One time here a few years ago, as I get calls to go down, I used to, not so much anymore, but go down to Florida and speak at different churches down there. And so we went to this one church down around Port Charlotte. And Pat and I were there, and there were probably, roughly, I'd say about 300 people attending that morning. And a sister was up front, an elderess, and she's going to have the responsive reading. But she's not going to use the songbook. This time she's going to use Scripture. I can't remember what the text was now, but she said, open to such and such a chapter and text. I'll read verse 1, the congregation read verse 2. I'll read verse 3, congregation read verse 4. And so it went on. Well, she read the first verse of that chapter. So far, so good. Second verse, congregation's reading. You talk about Babylon. It was Babylon. You had people using all kinds of different Bibles and paraphrases and all kinds of different things. And it was just a bunch of gibberish. When you got 300 people and half of them are reading from all different Bibles, it's a bunch of gibberish. Yes, I highly recommend the King James Bible. I know it's inspired. It's the authorized Bible. It's the only Bible that you don't need permission to use it. All these other Bibles, over 200, are in the English language now, and they're all saying different things. Different things. Well, Brother Goss, you don't understand. My grandchildren can't understand the thee and the thou. Oh, they're going to be Indian chiefs. They're going to be scientists, rocket scientists. They're going to be surgeons, neurosurgeons, but they can't understand thee and thou. The Bible is not a novel. It's not a romance novel, although it's so many wonderful things in there when you deal with Nahum and Ruth and so many other things. But it's to be searched. The scriptures are to be searched. It's not reading like a novel and all these fancier words and the old English language is taken out. I mean, you got Bibles that say they leave out the right arm of God because they don't want to offend left-handed people. They've got the Queen James Bible now that leaves all references out to homosexuality. You got all kind of things going, these paraphrases and everything else. Friends, I suggest, and I'm going to tell you what, when our church used to use the King James Bible in the church services, in the Sabbath school classes, in the Sabbath school quarterlies, before they started using all this stuff, we were a whole lot better church than we are today. Lots of confusion today. Big time confusion. Big time confusion. Go with me, to, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll start with verse 13. Paul saying, such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And don't marvel, don't be surprised, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, if that's the case, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Remember I said before in Testimonies of Ministers, page 409, there'll be men ministers in our pulpits here at the end with the hellish torch of Satan. And one of the big things is you can't overcome sin. God's got you covered. No need for you to be concerned about it. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow ye shall be translated. That is a lie straight out of the pits of hell, folks. There is power in the blood. Am I ready for translation? No, I can't say that. Just ask Pat. She can tell you that. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I used to be. But praise God. Again, I'm not what I used to be. And he will do it. He will cleanse us. There'll never be a time when we think that we've arrived. Paul made it very clear. We will not. The Word of God, the closer we get to Jesus, the more wretched we see ourselves, actually. But there are Enochs walking among us this our day, we are told. Enochs. Do they trip up steps sometimes? Yes. Do they make a wrong turn at the traffic light? Yes. But they are keeping, by the grace of God, his commandments. It doesn't say, thou shalt not have dandruff. It says, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. And God will give us the power to do that. To do that. In 2 Peter chapter 2. And we want to look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. But these were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Here down the end of time, among you, there's going to be false teachers who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. There's going to be people arising among us with heresies, damnable heresies. We just had that going on. Matter of fact, it's still not over yet, where you had people leaving major ministries who all of a sudden do not believe in the spirit of prophecy, no longer believe in the investigative judgment. I mean, think about it, folks, the investigative judgment. If you were picked up by a state trooper, and for speeding or whatever it might be, and he writes you a ticket and you have to appear in court and you go to court, what is the judge going to say? Guilty or not guilty? Well, if you say you're guilty, 30 days, Jerry, 30 days. If you're not guilty, there has to be an investigation to see whether there is evidence that you're not guilty or not, or enough evidence to convict you or not. So the investigative judgment, everybody that says, I have the shed blood of Jesus, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior, their names have to come up before. Are they truly, have they really put away sin? Or are they sneaking around with their pornography? Are they stealing from the church? Or from their business? We don't know, but God does. And so it's going to be investigated, because the whole universe wants to make sure that whomever God allows to come and be there, that they can be trusted throughout eternity. Makes sense to me. And the Bible makes it very clear that there is judgment. All things will come to the judgment, we're told. And Ecclesiastes 12:14 makes it clear, so many other places. But we have all this lies and stuff going on. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And let's look at verses 28. Well, 28. The first words it says, take heed. Take heed. Be watchful. Be alert. Again, take heed, because there's danger. In verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And what do wolves do? Eat sheep. Also of your own selves, within your churches, within your organizations, shall men arise speaking perverse, contrary things against the word, perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Verse 34, therefore watch. I noticed this young man that left, that doesn't believe in the spirit of prophecy. One of the reasons why he don't believe in the spirit of prophecy, because he doesn't believe the health message. And bless his heart, you take a look at him, you can understand why he doesn't believe the spirit of the health message. But he's out there with podcasts and different things. And I was talking to a friend of mine here not long ago from Pennsylvania. And he said there's a new man, been in the church for a couple of years, and he'd been watching some of these podcasts, and now he was starting to doubt the spirit of prophecy and the investigative judgment, because he was listening to this false teacher that rose up among you and now is preaching and teaching these things. And so my friend in Pennsylvania took him aside, had some serious prayer, and went through the Bible and studied the things out again. And then the man got back into the lane instead of in the ditch, because he was listening to one of these. For I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves, also among yourselves, men will arise speaking perverse things. Be alert, friends. Be alert. It's a warning. Pay close attention. Pay close attention. Because of all these things coming, God knew that they were coming. All these falsehoods, all these false shepherds, all these wolves, all these people rising up to teach all this evil. And contrary to the word of God, God did something else. God raised up, and we're told in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, God will do nothing without what? Revealing it to his servants, the prophets, to give to the church so that we won't fall into these pitfalls. That we don't fall into these pitfalls. So in Ephesians chapter 4, we find Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, and he, the Holy Spirit, gave some apostles and some what? Prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ until we are come into the unity of the faith. God allows us and given us the gift of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Friends, don't doubt it. And if you truly read it, if you truly read it, and I know why some people don't doubt it, because it hits their darling sins. When she writes statements about dealing with sports, how Satan invented sports, oh, people will get really angry with you about that. Don't get angry with the Word of God. If you've got a problem with it, you have to deal with it with God. There's only two choices. Either Satan invented it or God invented it. God didn't invent competition. Satan did. And we will win at all costs. Who put that in their hearts when it comes to sports and beating their opponents and trying to knock them down and drag them down or throw them down or whatever it might be? We need to read and understand the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, again, he sets some as prophets. Surely with the end of time, the close of probation is fast coming. We don't know the day and the hour, but it's coming fast. The signs, like we said, are all here. So wouldn't God have a messenger to tell you that smoking cigarettes is a malignant poison? Wouldn't he have the prophet tell us about things that we are faced with today that we weren't faced with many years ago, like AI? Personally, I believe when it comes to some spiritual things, you got to be careful with AI, because I think it's a modern day Ouija board in some ways. Be very careful. Now the pastors, all they got to do with AI is put in there, the Apostle Paul rode to Damascus, and it'll pump them out a sermon. So now the pastors don't even have to take time to pray and agonize and seek the Lord and the Holy Spirit to know what to speak. Now they can just have fast food spiritually. Get it off the computer, go to the church, spend no time in prayer and studying and preparation. So what kind of sermons are you going to get? Folks, if they're not spirit-filled, if they're not led by the Spirit of God, it's just a bunch of words. And there's no power in it. There is no power in it. So we need to get back to what God wants us to do. We're told when Jesus left his disciples, it says, when his visible presence should be withdrawn, the Word of God must be their source of power. When Satan was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus would say, it is written. But Satan knows Scripture, and he used it with Adam and Eve, and he uses it all along the line. He came back with Scripture. Jesus said, you're not supposed to tempt the Lord thy God. You're not supposed to be tempting me. And he went back to Scripture. So the enemy of souls knows Scripture. Let me read to you a little something here about why Another reason why we have to be so, so careful at this time of Earth's history. This is taken from Spiritual Gifts, Volume 2, page 277. I have been shown that Satan has not been stupid and careless these many years since he fell, since his fall, but has been learning. He has grown more artful. His plans are laid deeper and are more covered with the religious garment to hide their deformity. In other words, you can take a pig and put a dress on it and put different color lipstick. Folks, it's still a pig. And when he comes up with these things, he might be using different techniques or different ideas, but it's still a pig. It's still false information. It's still blasphemy. He covers his religious garment to hide their deformity. The power of Satan now to tempt and deceive is tenfold greater than what it was in the days of the apostles. 10 times more deceptive today than it was, and even more than that when Adam and Eve, and he tempted and deceived them, and they weren't fallen human beings at the time. So we're more apt to fall for it than they were. Tenfold greater than it was in the days of the apostles, his power has increased, and it will increase until it is taken away. His wrath, his hate grows stronger as his time to work draws near its close. And friends, we are getting near its close. There is no doubt about it. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says that we are to what? Let me go back and look at that. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 4. In verse 4, we're told, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, right? But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, many of these new Bibles don't even have that full text. They only have half of it. It says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, period. So if you're not supposed to live by bread alone, what are you supposed to be lived by? McDonald's hamburgers? No, it makes it very clear. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and that is in the Holy Scriptures, and that is in the spirit of prophecy. Don't get angry with the word. Don't get angry with the word because it interferes with your lifestyle. Because they're given to us to protect us, to get us through. So anyway, God gives us the spirit of prophecy to try to counteract all these deceptions of Satan. And so what does Satan do? What does he do? We find it in 1st Elected Messages, page 48. The last deception of Satan, the very last deception of Satan, will to make of none effect the testimony of the Spirit of God. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29:18. Satan will work ingeniously in different ways and through different agencies to unsettle the confidence of God's remnant people in the true testimony. There will be a hatred kindled against the testimonies, which is satanic. Satan cannot have so clear a track to bring it in his deceptions and bind up souls in his delusions if the warnings and reproofs and counsels of the Spirit of God are heeded. Why do we have drums and bass guitars and bebop and rock music, so-called, in the church? Because we refused to heed the counsel. And by the way, when Nebuchadnezzar in the image set up to get them to bow before they bowed. When you hear the music, bow. There's something to do with the music that's going to pass the frontal lobe to get people to make decisions that they might not normally do. Somebody used to work with me all the time, used to be in rock bands, and they said when they wanted to get the crowd in certain moods and conditions, they would set the tempo and the different things differently as they played this junk, and it affected them big time. Why do we have dramas and stuff in the church? We're told about that. Why are our schools big into sports and the basketball and the football and all the rest of the ball? Why are there so much? Because we refuse to follow the counsel. Why are our schools in such financial problems and situations? Because we won't follow the counsel that agriculture is the ABC of education. The whole plan of salvation, friends, is in the garden. It's all there. There's lessons to be learned. If you don't have a garden, put one in. Have your children out there with you, not as punishment to pull weeds, but explain to them what that weed represents. And if you don't get it out by the root, it'll come back. It's representing sin. Follow the counsel. Follow the counsel. As we follow the counsel, we will know, and we will do what God has asked us to do. Let me go to Timothy, 1 Timothy, if you would, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And let's take a look at chapter 1, verse 4. 1 Timothy, let me see. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times," that's our time, "some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Some are going to follow their emotions and depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. I remember some years ago, I was went to a funeral of a young, about a 12-year-old. He was in the back of a pickup truck, and another young person was driving, a little older than he was, but was driving the pickup truck, and they were moving some furniture, and so the 12-year-old was studying the furniture while they moved it to the place where they need to get the furniture, and the young man driving went around the corner a little too fast. The 12-year-old fell out of the truck, and when he fell out of the truck, his head hit a tree, and it killed him. Very sad, very sad. And I remember going to this funeral, and they had the coffin there, and they had this young man in this coffin, and his mother was hysterical. Seventh-day Adventist. Hysterical, wailing, and there was a lot of other young people in there, and they were all getting so emotional about what was going on, and I thought to myself, right then, I thought, what would happen? And most everybody there was Adventist. What would happen if one of Satan's angels, being in the likeness of that young man, would set up in that coffin and call to his mother, "Mother, everything is fine. Jesus has taken good care of me. Everything is lovely. I have no need. Everything is, my needs are taken care of. It's wonderful. But we've gone down a different track, and we need to turn back to what God really wants." How many in that room that day, and there were loads of them, how many would have fallen for that? Are we ready for such things? It's coming. That's one of the things that's going to be happening here at the end. We're going to have loved ones appear to us, coming in the name of the Lord, and come they sound just like them. It says many will be ensnared through the belief that spiritualism is merely a human imposture. When brought face to face with the manifestations which they cannot but regard as supernatural, they will be deceived and will be led to accept them as the great power of God. Warnings, folks. Admonitions, folks. The miracle-working power manifested through spiritualism will exert an influence against those who choose to obey God rather than men. Communications from the spirits will declare that God has sent them to convince the rejectors of Sunday of their effort or their error, affirming that the laws of the land should be obeyed as the laws of God. Oh, it's coming. My wife's grandmother, Pat's mother, just became a Seventh-day Adventist. She just learned about the state of the dead. She learned they sleep, they know nothing. So Pat's mother told Pat's grandmother, because granddad had died just a month or two before. And she told her mother, she says, "Mom, what I'm learning from the Bible is if grandfather appears or looks like grandfather, call on the name of the Jesus immediately. Call on the name of Jesus immediately." So grandmother's in the mirror, and she's in her bedroom. She's in the mirror, standing, brushing her long hair. Something gets her attention in the mirror. It's grandfather. So she thinks. Grandfather comes in, he sets on the bed, and the bed sinks down just like it was if somebody sat on it with their weight. She remembered what her daughter told her, Pat's mother told her about that, and immediately she called on the name of the Lord and pleaded with the Lord, and all of a sudden that thing made a swirl, and out the window it went. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming soon. As the crowning act of the great drama of deception, Satan himself will personate Christ. The church has long professed to look for the Savior's advent as the consummation of her hopes. Now the great deceiver will make it appear that Christ has come. In different parts of the earth, Satan will manifest himself among men as a majestic being of dazzling brightness, resembling the description of the Son of God given in John by John in Revelation 1, 13 through 15. It's coming. The world's going to fall for it. The world is convinced that spiritualism is what it is. And as it says in Maranatha, page 276, again, I'll read, the crowning act of deception in different parts of the earth, Satan will manifest himself among men as a majestic being, dazzling brightness, resembling the description of God given by John the Revelator. The glory that surrounds him is surpassed by nothing that mortals' eyes have yet beheld. By the people of God, but the people of God will be not misled. The teachings of this false Christ are not accordance with Scripture. Only with Scripture will we know. That's why I say, don't worry about reading all these other books. They might be good books, but we've got to know the Bible, friends. We have got to be reinforced with the Word of God. It has got to be so strong in us, the faith in the God's word above anything we see or hear or experience. We need. I remember a pastor, I knew this pastor from years ago. He's deceased now. But his wife was a very great help to his ministry and pastoring. Beautiful couple. But she died. She died. And after a period of time, this pastor was talking to a good friend of mine that knew him very well as well. And he told my friend, he said, "Evelyn appeared to me today. She came to my apartment I was living in. and said, you know, we need to get some new furniture. My friend said, Pastor, you know better than that. You know that's not your wife. You know that is the enemy of souls. Pray and plead that God will not allow that to happen to you at any time. He was almost taken by it because he was so lonely and missing his wife and by himself. He almost fell for that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. Don't let any pastor, any deacon, any deaconess, any neighbor, any family member deceive you by any means. Because friends, we are nearing home. We are nearing home, my friends. Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. God's people need to be strong. They need to be well-versed in the Word of God. Question for you, if you're brought before council, if you're brought before the Senate, and they ask you to give them from the Bible your teaching on the sanctuary message, the investigative judgment, could you give them the text? Do you know where they are? Do I know where they all are? No, I don't, but that's why we got to keep studying. That's why we got to keep studying. We're going to be learning throughout eternity, so we don't learn it all right now. But friends, we got to spend more time in the Word of God. Don't worry about the sitcoms on television. Don't worry about the sitcoms on television. I was in a church preaching in Maryland here not long ago, and I'm preaching there, and it's maybe a little bit longer than what they normally would have a preacher. And I see some man sitting here looking at his watch. He's wondering when I'm going to quit. The same man could sit before on Sundays and sit before 5 hours of football games and never even have to worry about looking at his watch. But when it comes to the Word, he was getting a little bit bored, maybe. Shame on me. And shame on him as well. So friends, we need this. We need this. And I want to leave you with Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to leave you with these words. Chapter 6 and verse 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery, the deceits of the devil. Finally, put on the whole armor. We need more than the helmet of salvation. We do not want to be a Christian streaker only wearing the helmet. We need the breastplate. We need all the Word. We need it, the faith in Jesus. And friends, we're not going to go through. And so my counsel to you, to each one that might listen to this, study the Word of God like you've never studied before. Instead of coming together and watching some special things on television or something, invite your friends, your fellow Christians to come and study the Word of God. You will gain so much more and be prepared to meet Jesus in peace. There's a song in the hymnal, page 272. Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer lone, tempest tossed. No storm can hide the peaceful radiance beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy precious Bible, precept and promise, law and love combined, till night shall vanish in eternal day. We're only going to be able to tell these deceptions by a thus saith the Lord. It's going to be our only defense here at the end. We need to know this word and prepared to share that word. And the more you share, the quicker you'll learn. As you water, ye shall be watered. Friends, let nothing or no one scam you out of eternal life. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, oh Lord, we praise you. We thank you that you've given us all the tools necessary to keep us from being deceived, to keep us from losing our way. And as the Bible says, let no man take thy crown. Let nothing take our crown. If we lose heaven, it'll be because of our own choices and not willing to follow the word. Just like Adam and Eve doubted the word of God, and look where it led them. We cannot afford to doubt the word of God. Thus saith the Lord needs to be on our lips at all times. Thus saith the Lord. If you can't give me thus saith the Lord, I'm not really interested. So keep us faithful. May we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And may we, as the words of the Revelator John, even so, come Lord Jesus. We pray this in his glorious and holy and magnificent name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.